inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Friday Form Focus, the time we find you all the winners, and the man to do so is Mick Sharkey. How are you, Shark?
Very well, Michael. How are you?
Yeah, excited. Yeah. The good horses are back.
You look excited.
I love this meeting at Caulfield each and every year, and we get the added bonus of the mighty mare Winx returning, and it's not going to be a walk, trot and canter. Well, it may end up being, but anyway, on paper, it could be a nervous watch for her legion of fans around Australia. And it's so good to see that the media has jumped back on. She's front page of The Australian. All the commercial networks are doing stories on Winx, and that's what racing needs. And it is great that James Cummings and Godolphin have said, you know what, we're going to lay down the challenge.
Yeah, good on them.
Don't you reckon?
I reckon it's great. I think it's fantastic. This could be her last prep.
I'd say it's probably more likely than not it will be her last.
Correct. Run. So if you've got a good horse, anywhere between 1,400 to 2,000 metres, you'd be having a good crack, wouldn't you? There would be an aspect of wanting to be the horse to knock her over. Not knock her over, but beat her. We don't want to see her knocked over.
No, I know what you mean. But 26 in a row is what she's going for. And I'm going to ask you, is there any chance? Before I do, let's have a listen to what Chris Wallace said yesterday, and on Thursday, what James Cummings said about Kemantari's chances as well.
The fact is, we've got a horse that rates the highest in the world. She can read off amazing sectionals, whether it's 1,400 or 2,000 metres. And to be quite frank, she has to come back inferior to where she's been to be beaten by any horse. So, yes, it's an air of arrogance, but it's a fact too that she's so good.
After I watched him gallop on yesterday morning, I just felt more and more that it was going to be too long to wait for the horse to race a month between, waiting all the way to the Memsey. This is just his right race this weekend. He's going to grow a leg stepping up to 1,400 metres second up. He's just thriving. He worked like the best horse we have in the stable yesterday morning, just the way we know he is. And I know it might seem like we're trying to play it down a little bit because of the presence of Winx in the race, but what it boils down to, it is it's just the perfect race for him.
James Cummings thinks there's a chance.
I like it.
Do you think there's a chance?
Yeah, I'm backing him.
No.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to back
him. It's almost un-Australian.
No, it's not. Look, you got to... Sometimes sometimes you just got to side with the villain a little
bit. So you think Kemantari will beat Winx?
I'm going... At $7.50 or whatever he is, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is and have a little bet.
So you're tipping Kemantari to beat Winx, the best horse in the world, who's won 25 in a row.
I am. Do you know what I love about those two grabs, though? Was Waller. He's at, that little bit of arrogance which he admitted to and everything else, but it was like the... it's like a boxing... like a heavyweight title fight sort of thing. Like he's the champion and he's stating his case, marking his territory, saying, come on, if you think you're good enough, let's have a go. Step up to the plate if you think you're good enough. And then you've got this young gun, just, the young bull sitting off the side who's quietly building the solid record and his horses are all flying. And he says, we've got one here. We might have a little crack at you. I love it. I absolutely love it. More of it, I say. It's all there's a danger if she starts winning that everyone just says, oh, she's the greatest, she's unbelievable, blah blah blah. And the storyline is written days ahead of every race she's going to have this prep. I think we need more of these, more trainers with genuine Group 1 horses saying,
100%.
I think we can have a crack. I think we can give her a test.
It does. It gets exciting. But I've been watching on Sky on recent days. Sky Thoroughbred Central have put together Winx's wins.
Yeah.
Where they run them all together. And you know what?
Pretty good, isn't
it? You forget the wins, the horses she's beaten, how good she is. Because there's almost a malaise that she'll just win. You go back and have a look at those wins, 25 in a row, 18 group ones. It is just phenomenal. We've never seen a horse like it.
Oh, I reckon
I think she'll be too good.
We've seen a couple of horses like it, but that's the
not
beauty.
Over her distances. Black Caviar was a pure sprinter.
Yeah, but we've seen a couple of horses like her. Frankel in Europe and Black Caviar.
Okay,
here.
I haven't seen Frankel.
We've
in
been
flesh.
Absolutely blessed.
You've been lucky to see Frankel in
this
flesh.
Era, in our lifetime.
Is now, she the best
now
horse?
Adult life.
Is she the best horse we've had in Australia? Is
what,
she better
of all time?
Well, it's hard. I don't. We don't know Farley, Burnborough.
You know
they're beyond our time. How do you compare them?
You know
Tullock.
What?
But in the modern era, we have had superstars.
Yeah, we have.
Black Caviar, Maccabi Diva. You've had your Lonrose, your Sunlines, and now we've got Wentz.
How,
is she the best?
Do you? I don't know. I'm not going to say any of them are better than any
well,
others.
You don't think
I,
so, obviously, because you think Kamentari will beat her.
Well, that's right. I take the Peter Moody line in saying, why are we so preoccupied with saying, it's the best, it's the best, it's the second best, it's this and this and that. Like, Maccabi Diva.
What we do.
Yeah, but when we're bored, maybe, you just have a, you know, have another glass of wine and watch more replays.
Right,
and yeah. just be grateful, Michael. Be grateful. See, you're always so competitive. You want to compete all the time, don't you? Hey,
we will.
You have to bet and
park
compete.
This until Monday, where you will either be a genius, or
you know what I'm going to
be. Won't be back.
I'm going to be $50 lighter. That's what I'm going to be. But you know what? I'll have some fun for the minute and a half when it's happening.
Well, she's going to be the highlight of the weekend, but I think. The meeting of the weekend is without doubt at Caulfield. PB Lawrence Stakes Day is an absolute cracker. This is the start of spring where we will get to see a number of spring major winners, I think, come out of this race.
Yeah, we will. It's a really interesting race because there are probably, even you know, the size of the field and the class of the field, there's probably only a handful of horses that are possibly fit and ready to win it. And listening to Darren Weir's comments before about his six horses, you know, it sounds like the majority of them need a run or two before we start to see them hit their peak.
It's going to be that race, isn't it?
Yeah, and if every horse in the field was coming from that base, well, you'd say well, it could be any one of them. But I think there are a few here that have identified the Lawrence and probably the Memsie next start as grand final day. You know, this is a $200,000 Group 2 race. It's a big deal at this time of year. I think there are a couple of horses here that have identified this and said, you know what, we'll grab this and we'll have a real crack at winning and beating some of the big boys.
All right, look forward to your thoughts on the Lawrence. Let's get stuck into it. We'll also have a chat throughout the next hour with the track manager, Jason Kerr at Caulfield as well, because there's some really nasty weather on the way.
Yes.
Currently rated a good 4. It'll be interesting to see how much rain they're anticipating and what that may do on the day. But the first race, and we've got one of the shortest priced favourites of the day, Nantali, who is absolutely flying. Trained by Kieran Maher, I should say, and Dave Eustace. And just speaking of them, by the way, congratulations to Adrian Corboy and also his partner, Annabelle Neesham, who won the Mongol Derby, a 1,000-kilometre horse race. We'll have a chat to them next week on the show, but that is one of the most grueling races in the world. Huge, unbelievable feat of horsemanship by both of them, and well done to both of them as well.
And you know what? You watching Kieran Maher on racing.com yesterday, or I think it was Wednesday, actually, he was beaming, absolutely beaming, and so proud of his mates for going and achieving that, but part of you just really felt for him because if it wasn't for Jamaica and that broken leg, he would have been there with them and he would have achieved that goal as well.
I imagine he'll do it next year.
What a unique thing to do. And
crazy.
It's just amazing. Just amazing. Like, racing action this weekend aside, the achievement that Adrian and Annabelle have completed there is just incredible. Yeah. Absolutely incredible. Can't wait to hear the story.
They get back, I believe, tomorrow in Australia. We'll have a chat to them on the show next week. All right, let's find the winner of the first. Nantali, at $2.25. Meets a similar field. Miss Siska's the new fresh blood, the half to Haylis. But she, Nantali, the way she's racing, I know she's up in weight. It's hard to see her getting beaten in the first. Is it a good way to start the day? 225?
Yeah, I don't think it's as straightforward as the market suggests. I think this is a case of, wow, Nantali, it's, you know, won its last two. Well, there's not many other sort of recent winners in the field. Let's just bowl her up at short odds. I don't think she should be 225 in this field. Ma Jones meets her 2.5 kilos better and had to do a little bit more work there to get into the race. Nantali had the greatest run of all time in a race that at Mooney Valley that played to the horse with the best turn of foot, which she had. I concede she can win the race, but I'm not backing her at 225. I think Remember the Name, which got too far back last start and then ran home really well. She's not the new blood. I guess she's a younger mare coming through these grades. I think her form is very good over the winter when she was beating the boys. There's good winning form around her as well.
Do you want to get a good run?
Do you want to get a great run? And Ollie Sticks, he's ridden her the last three starts, so he's obviously feeling something that he really likes. And she drops a little half kilo from running against the boys last time, albeit in three-year-old grade, but back to her own sex. She's fit, she's flying, she's going very well. I think she's a decent foil against Nantali tomorrow at around $5. And a roughie that I thought would be ready to do something here third up is Crafty Devil. It's a big price. Sandown run, she needed it. Moonee Valley last time, as we mentioned, it was a sort of a race that played to those with a better turn of foot. She was too far back, and I don't think Moonee Valley really suited her at that distance. I am interested to see what she can do here out to 1,700 metres third up. I don't think she's the worst in the race.
All right, so Shark is saying favourite punters may tread warily in the first. A lot of people had her down as one of the best bets of the day, but you're saying Nantali under the odds at 225. Do you think she'll drift?
Well, if she does, you know, something around sort of 260, that sort of range, would, you know, I'd be a little more interested. But at 225, I'm happy to take her on.
All right. Let's have a chat to the track manager, Jason Kerr, because the all-important track conditions and weather conditions tomorrow will certainly determine a lot. How are you, Jace?
Very well, thanks, Michael.
Track, no doubt, will be in perfect condition as we speak. What's the current rating?
I've rated it good 3 this morning. It's been, had rain last weekend, but none since. So it's continued to improve through the week. So it's a good 3 at the moment, which has left us in a bit of a sticky situation with some rain forecast tonight. So certainly, as you said, it's in perfect condition. We're going to put 3 mils of irrigation on today, just as a bit of a banker in case we miss this rain tonight. I think if we missed it and didn't irrigate, it's probably going to be a bit firm tomorrow. So we'll put 3 mils on this morning and then wait and see what happens tonight. But they're saying between sort of 3 and 8 mils. So
3 and 8. Okay.
Yeah. I think if we get that, it's going to be in that sort of good 4, possibly into the soft 5 range. But with the sort of the thunderstorm activity they're saying, you know, you're as likely to miss it as get it. So we'll just we'll play the safe option today with a big day tomorrow and obviously good horses on the way back.
A balmy top of 14, they're predicting. So it's going to be a rug up at the Heath tomorrow. Any wind factor tomorrow from what the Bureau's telling you?
Yeah, they're saying it's going to swing around late morning to a fairly blustery southwesterly, which is sort of straight off the bay. That cold wind we get, obviously, when the fronts come across, so it'll be a sort of a cross tail, I suppose, down the side, and a little bit of a crosswind in the straight, so about 35k an hour. So solid wind, but not sort of that real gusty, strong winds that we've had concerns with in the past. So it'll just be a fairly cold, windy, bleak winter's day, I think.
Yep. All right. Rail out 3, but you expect the track to be favouring or have no favour for horses inside or out?
Yeah, we've sort of started in the true last meeting. We'll just sort of work our way out, 3-metre increments. So certainly there's a couple of wear marks out wide from where they fanned a fortnight ago, but essentially it's untouched ground, 3 metres and across. So it's, great cover of grass. The weather's just sort of turned on us a little bit the last few days, so we'll start to see a little bit of growth and recovery. So no, the track's in terrific order and just waiting to see what the weather gods bring tonight.
Good luck tomorrow, Jace.
Thanks, Michael.
Jason Kerr, track manager at Caulfield. We'll wait to see what the weather is, but it doesn't sound like they're going to get as much as what we had predicted. So fingers crossed it'll be a perfect track for all. Race 2, let's get into this. It's over 1,100 metres. Rolito is the early favourite, $2.30. She's been performing really well, although I did see David Gately last night when I was flicking around on Get On, and he made a salient point that Rolito, the further she gets into her preparation, the less brilliant she is. Is that a concern for you, fourth up?
Not when she's had a month between runs.
Okay.
I think they've identified that she's very good when she's fresh. I think they're also well aware that she may have some niggles. She's a six-year-old and she's only had 11 starts. I think coming back a shade to that 1,100 metres in a month between runs is not a big issue. She'll be really fresh for this. There's no jump outs or anything since her last run, so she's probably just been ticking over. I really, really like her tomorrow. I think she can win this race and use it as a springboard into the Cochram in 2 weeks' time, which is a race I've sort of thought in the back of my mind they might target with her. She was brilliant two back in really quick time. She was up in weight last time. And look, she was back off a moderate tempo and she had to use her turn of foot between the 600 and the 400. And she ripped up in about 22.28 in that section. And it just dulled her sprint that last furlong. She looked like she was going to run through and win the race, but sharpness had had a much softer run and had a little punchy turn of foot there, was up on the rails and got her head down at the right time. I'll forgive that run. She gave sharpness 3.5 kilo. She's back down on the minimum here, 54. Williams on. Barrier 7 gives him the chance just to sit off midfield and rip home again. I think she's a great bet and probably my best of the day.
You're happy 230 to take that?
I am. Yeah,
what about True Excelsior?
She's the danger.
She finished like just behind Shoals. Yeah. It was a huge run.
Yeah, and just kept getting better last preparation as well. So she's right in the mix. She jumped out at Flemington on August 3 and was never, ever, ever let off the lead. And she had plenty to give too. So she's come back really well on the basis of that jump out. Form's great. She will go forward and she will be hard to catch. I just think Rolito, being that touch fitter, might be able to get her late, but she's a horse to follow in these mare sprints, that's for sure. La Bella Dios is the other one through the jump out set in August 3 at Flemington. I thought she was very good there. She's a danger at big odds, even though she does have some form out to longer trips. So I'm keen to have a bet in this race. I'll be backing Rolito to win, and I'll be playing exactas with La Bella Diosa and True Excelsior, just in case she's turned over, the three of those.
Creativity is currently the second favourite. She was really disappointing last out at Flemington. I don't know if there was an excuse there, but she's got a great record at Caulfield, and she's been freshened up. So what do you do with her?
I thought her form just sort of started to taper off at the end of that last preparation. You know, she's usually really reliable. She was a good winner at Caulfield back in late April, and then Proud Miss was probably just a little out of reach. Back to Mooney Valley was just okay. I don't think she has as many weapons as horses like Rolito and True Excelsior at this level. They're probably destined for the Cockrum, and Creativity is probably just hoping.
All right, best bet of the day for Mick Sharkey, race 2, Rolito at $2.30. Race 3 is one of the hardest races of the day. In my book, it's a wide open affair. A good yarn who has looked like a superstar on the synthetic is at $4.20. You got $6.57 year reward, $8.50 plutocracy, $9.50 double jeopardy, who ran well. Spirit of a Quad is an interesting runner. Trolled really well after a couple of duck eggs, $8.50. And I thought Overland wasn't without a hope, but $9.50, $8.50 for Highland Beat as well. Open race. And that isn't even mentioning Clint McDonald's runner, which is first up, Star Fortune. Clint's got a couple of really nice, interesting runners at Caulfield tomorrow, and he joins us now. How are you, Clint?
G'day, boys. How are you?
Very well, mate. Very well. I want to go through all your runners, but first of all, tell us about Star Fortune. You've drawn the pole. First up, got a great record first up. Is he up to this class?
Well, it's a rating race. He's won 8 races throughout his career, so that's where he sits now. And he's a horse that we've had to place well, but he does run well first up. Got D. Oliver on, 60 kilos, barrier 1. Looks to be good speed in the race, so hopefully he can get a nice suck into the race and get out at the right time and be in the finish.
That first up form is a massive plus. What about his form at Caulfield, though, Clint? He's had 6 goes there and has yet to run a place.
Yeah, no, that is right. He's a bit of a trickster, the old bugger, so we might even put him on the float tomorrow and take him for a drive and try to trick him into thinking he's at a different place. But, it is a little bit of a concern. But there has been excuses for those runs, and he's one of those horses where he probably hasn't been here first up before. He's a horse that's better sort of his first couple of... He does go well, so... We're hoping that can be tomorrow, and he'll be competitive.
Sounds like Mick Sharkey's Bucks Night. Do you do that often? Just take him for a drive and blindfold him?
Yeah, correct. I couldn't be as mad as Mick Sharkey, but...
Hey, speaking of mad, there's an interesting backstory to your first start at Taxi
in the Vane Stakes.
Can you tell the listeners the backstory?
He's a horse that was named Taxi, obviously, and comes after last year's grand final when I got left in the minivan paying the taxi fare and all the others bolted on me. So we ended up calling the horse Taxi, and we've got a few characters in the horse. So, it's a good story, and runs in the yellow and black colours, and hopefully he can run well tomorrow.
Now, Clinton, I'm not sure who was on the horse in the Caulfield jump out, but have you been able to get the arms back into the socket of those that particular jockey? Because he was fair dinkum strangled from go to woe. You did tried to do a good job of hiding his talents.
Yeah, no, he's a really nice horse in the making. We're going there tomorrow with no expectations. He's just going there. He's a high chap. He's a little bit hot-headed, and we just feel that he probably needs the experience tomorrow. And whatever he does tomorrow, he'll definitely improve on. He's a nice horse with good ability. We feel that he'll make the grade, but I think he'll go there. He'll race well, but I'm wary that he can do a lot wrong still. So he can get a little bit keen and just want to overdo it. So I'm hoping better quality, 1,100 metres. He'll just be able to come off the bridle nicely and just, if he works the line, we'll be happy with that.
Dreaming of guineas, whether it's this spring or perhaps in the autumn?
Yeah, well, if you don't nominate, then all of a sudden he steps up, well, then all of a sudden you're paying a late entry. So it sort of forces you to sort of nominate these type of horses. But he's a nice horse. He's got good ability. And we're hoping he can get somewhere in the spring. And that'll probably come around maybe a bit too soon. But no, he's a nice horse.
That little incident grand final night was where the little Don't Argue came in from Dusty. Mm. There's a Dean Martin in the ownership. Is that Dusty?
That's correct.
That is a good little story.
Perfect. He wins now.
What have you told him? Should he be backing him?
Dusty's he's shown a bit of interest, but he sent me a text last night saying he might pop out to the race, but I'd like to be betting 100-1 that he doesn't. He didn't even turn up, I don't think, to main stage running in the Derby last year. So I think he's more of a couch and TV person.
Oh, well, hopefully you'll be celebrating a win over the Bombers tonight. And what about Causeway Girl? Gee, there's a big boom on her. She was so good on debut and then didn't have any luck in that hot race at the Valley. How's she come through that?
She comes through it in fantastic order. She's a really nice filly. She worked terrific here on Tuesday morning. And as you said, she had no luck at all. We thought we'd drawn a good gate. The way the track turned out, she was just in the wrong spot for the entire race. So she got back further than what we thought she would. She started to really travel up coming to the turn, but just had a wall of horses. And obviously the winner and the second horse, Pippi, were off and gone. I think she's a crazy price tomorrow at $21. I think they've got Pippi at $4.20 and that's at $21. And I can't see that big a difference in them.
All right, we'll leave it with that. Get on at 21. Good on you, Clinton. Good luck tomorrow.
No, thanks, boys. Bye.
Clinton McDonald, we'll talk about the Quizette coming up. That is just a cracking race. But before we get there, race three. This is tough for me. Oberland, I'm probably going to play each way at about $9.50. But I'm interested to get your thoughts on A Good Yarn. If it was trained by a headline trainer, Merv McKenzie's doing a great job. This would be at $2.50, Pop, wouldn't it?
Yeah, potentially. I've been noticing with these 78s that we've had, over the winter months, big fields, open races, and I think people, there's a danger we overthink these. Oh, it's a huge field, they're all even, let's back something at $15. Well, there's absolutely nothing wrong with A Good Yarn's form. Yeah, it's on the synthetic, but he's been running really good time, and he's just been doing it so easily. It's not like it's a surface that he hasn't ever seen before. I think he's a maiden winner on the turf at Werribee. I don't see why he can't win this again. I think he's possibly been a little overlooked, as you said. In saying that, it's not a race I want to be betting in, although there might be a bit of a theme tomorrow. I might be a bit crazy this week talking about Kamentari beating Winx, and the next words out of my mouth could possibly have me put into some sort of institution. Edgewood is not the worst 100-1 shot I've ever seen.
Edgewood?
Yeah.
How have you come up with that?
Oh, I don't know. My brain works in mysterious ways sometimes, and I just remember his first up win last prep.
It's 1-3 for 9.
It was pretty good.
First up.
He does go well first up. I don't think he's 100-1 shot in that field.
100-1.
He's not 100-1 shot in that field.
Gee whiz. This is going to be something special. If Kamentari beats Winx and Edgewood wins, you've got to have a dollar on the double.
For Shark.
Shark, no wonder you're tipping... expletive. Between you and Matt Stewart, one of these days you might get Winx beaten. That's
another four winners for you last week, whoever tweeted Greg. That. Thanks, mate. Good on you, Greg.
Now,
thanks, Felicity.
Oh, hang on, this one. Sharky could not agree more with your attitude that we are obsessed with who is the best. We could not split contemporary Sunline Northerly. How can we split horses of different eras? That's from Len Noonan. Thanks for your feedback there, Len.
Good on you, Len.
I wouldn't mind some feedback on Sharky tipping Edgewood punters. Send that in. We're going to take a break. More to come after this.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus. We're up to race four at Caulfield, and this is another of the tough races here, and it's a wide open market. It's going to be interesting to see this race as I struggle to open up the market, Sharky. I was looking at the Melbourne Cup market because we were talking in the break about Torcedor, a horse who you liked.
Yeah.
For the Melbourne Cup, who has been sold. From your intel, is that horse going to be coming for the Melbourne Cup or not?
I don't know. I believe they're considering it. As Get Smart would say, missed it by that much. I believe it was some enormous odds on different places around the place where punters might not have thought it'd be coming to Australia. So, yes.
Right.
Thanks to you for announcing it before I got on.
We'll try and find more out about that on the show on Monday. Let's try and find the winner of the fourth race. It is a wide open market. Streets of Avalon is the favourite at $3.80. The Emergency getting a start. Barrier 16 is going to be awkward at the 1,400. It will come in, though, due to the scratchings. Leisure is a really interesting running runner. First up, $7. You've got Anaheim, $9.50. Redefine at $7 as well. And Our Peaky Blinders, another of the interesting runners from the Busserton, Natalie Young stable, first up as well. Where are you heading here, Shark?
Probably to the bar. I'm not really interested in betting in this race. It's not a race that, you don't have to bet in these. Some of them you can just watch. There's five out. It's still a field of 15. They're all a very even bunch. There's not a heap of winning form there. And probably the most talented horse, although a touch wayward, Peaky Blinders, his first up, and I didn't really like his Cranbourne trial. So, look, I settled for the sake of a tip on the Avenger. I thought he was really brave at 1,600. He last time with 60 kegs on his back. I just don't think he runs out a super strong mile, and he was in front and just probably left a sitting duck there early in the straight. Stayed on well enough to the line, but just wasn't quite good enough. He made demolition work before that at this track and distance. Quite like that form. The wide gates, not ideal, as you mentioned. A couple of these have drawn really tricky gates, so perhaps a cold ride for the Avenger, and he might be warming up late. One that has drawn well and has a lot of ability and might be the forgotten horse in the race is Wheel Leisure.
She's probably the best horse in the race, isn't
she?
Yeah.
Look, at her very best, she didn't come up in the autumn after a busy spring carnival, so I'm forgiving of that form. She had a trial at Cranbourne on the 6th of August, and it was a nice little effort. She just got a little rub along there from Jai McNeil to pick up into her work at about the 250, 300, and I thought her last furlong was quite strong. Good gait. She won't do any work at all from barrier three. It's just a matter of whether she can get out and really wind up, because she does need some room to move.
Yeah,
they'd
really
be the two
tricky
I'm most interested in watching in the race.
Really tricky race. Tread warily, punters, with a number of the good hopes drawn terribly. Let's get on to race number five, because I want to spend some time on these good races, and the Vane Stakes is certainly that. The market from the top, Longleaf is at $8. You've got $13 Vanda, Rock Hard, $8, undefeated. The August at $5.50, Native Soldier, $4.80. The favourite, Tony Nocconi, well backed into $2.40, high ratio 26, Sids coin 34, Titian Blinders, and Taxi, the first starter we spoke to Clint McDonald about, is a $34 chance as well. Tony Nocconi looked like a superstar on debut. Is he a $2.40 chance?
It's probably a touch short. There's some nice horses in this race. I thought the Hayes Dabbening team hold the key to the race with Tony Nocconi and also Longleaf, who, you know, look at his two-year-old form. He's fairly exposed, having had seven starts, but he was a three-time winner, and he was close up in a Golden Slipper from a shocking gate. It was a huge run in that race. Mm. And also in the sires, I thought he was really good there. Probably just had enough in the Champagne. He's a fast net. He's a big, strong, fast net colt. That sort of horse always improves, or not always, they don't always, but you know, they generally improve into their three-year-old season. I liked his jump out at Flemington. I thought he went to the line a touch better than Uhud. He looks in great shape, looks fit and strong and well. He's probably going towards the guineas, but I'm really keen to see what he can do here. Tony Nakane was just fast and dominant on debut, and he's got that recent form and fitness on his side. And in these early three-year-old races in particular, that can really be an advantage. And the other one with a bit of residual fitness from the winter is the August. There's nothing wrong with the way he won both of his races. Donald Classic was good, and then he was well in the market and well supported, 440 into 330 at Flemington when he beat Good and Fast, who then came out and was in great winning form off the back of that. So I like that form. Good and Fast in the August did clear out a bit from the rest there, and there was winning form behind them. They both showed a nice turn of foot, so I think the August is up to his neck in this race as well. Really keen to see how that winter form measures up against that better two-year-old form of Longleaf. Not a race I want to bet in. It's a race I think we'll use as a bit of a tool, a comparison for that winter form versus the two-year-old stakes form.
Who do you think is a stronger group at the moment, the Colts and Geldings or the Fillies?
Well, from what we saw in the two-year-old season, you've got to be with the Fillies. Mm. But I wouldn't be surprised if some of the Colts make significant ground starting with the spring, you know, particularly as we get into late September, October. These Colts, there were a lot of immature Colts during that two-year-old season physically. So if they've come back and put on weight and strengthened up, I think they can bridge the gap on the Fillies. But we probably won't see them really compete unless it's in, you know, a McNeil or a Coolmore later on, because they sort of split their separate ways, don't they, and head off to, you know, the various guineas and black type races, especially for the Fillies, for those sprinting shorter trips.
Tony Nakane, the August, and also Native Soul to $26 pops at this stage for the Caulfield Guinea. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they come. So you think Tony Nakane, but just a no-bet race?
Yeah, no-bet race. Keen to see how those three I mentioned, Longleaf, the August, and Tony Nakane, stack up.
Just quickly, I missed it in the last race. The Avenger is scratched,
is
Shark.
It? Oh, well,
so
there you go.
It's been scratched this morning. So did you want to put another one in there?
Or
does that change?
To mention a scratching?
No. It's surprising we got to race four before there was one mentioned.
Well, it's true. This is true. No, look, I think we just watch Will Leisure in that race. And Anaheim Gelded, you know, he's another one that could improve.
Race six is the Quizette, and this will be almost the race of the day, because I just love these three-year-old fillies, and there is so much value in this race. I think we heard Clint McDonald talk about Causeway Girl. Sunlight's $3.30 favourite. If she was the Sunlight of a two-year-old, you'd just be backing her every day of the week, barrier three. Jury's out. Tony McAvoy didn't seem overly bullish in confidence this morning. Said she's improved, but didn't say she was a good thing. Thrillsters looked sensational. You've got the Hayes Dabernick runners of Kulasa and Ennis Hill and Khalifa, who are all $26, $21, $18. Witherspoon from Sydney, $13. Hummer Mama has been racing well, $17. Right Enough, only debut performance was outstanding. It's trialled well, $11. Pippi was huge in that race at Moonee Valley, $4.20. Ray's Dream also thought ran well in that race at Moonee Valley, $34. Fidelia was almost as good as Pippi, a $10 chance. And then we go down to Causeway Girl, had no hope at $18 in that race. Clint McDonald says crazy odds. And Casadiva is at $23. We spoke to Brent Stanley a week ago, and ringing in my ears is the statement that Brent Stanley said, that Casadiva is the best horse he's got, better than the 2-year-old, the August, now 3-year-old, who was a good chance in the vein as well. So from barrier two, you've got to give her a chance. Where do you go?
You go to a spot where you can watch this and watch the replay about a dozen times afterwards, because this is going to be such an important race from every stakes race, effectively, from 1,100 metres through to 1,600 metres. There are fillies in this that will go down the sprinting route, and there are others that will have their hearts set on 1,000 guineas, so it'll be a key form race. It's great to see the Quizette so strong, and it's obviously bolstered from a strong group of two-year-old fillies coming back. It just, you know, sets the scene for a great run to the 1,000 guineas. I want to see Sunlight again. I know she was opened up by Nature Strip, but Nature Strip's a more, you've got to remember, he's a far more mature horse. Yes, he gave her 7 kilos, but he's a big, strong horse, Nature Strip, and the way he runs and the time he can run, he could make good horses look ordinary, particularly around that 1,000 metres, 1,100 metres. So my worry was how close some pretty average horses got to Sunlight. But, you know, was she gassed trying to keep up with Nature Strip? Had she been ridden a bit more conservatively, would she have been able to draw away from those horses? too many questions for me around her, so I just want to see her again. That Multaja form line is the best form line from the winter, but you know, Pippi's the one everyone sort of landed on, but Fidelia was great.
She was enormous.
She had to wait for a run behind Pippi and probably lost, and she had to wait for it at the worst time too, just on the point of that corner as they were coming around. She had to wait and ease. Pippi accelerated off the bend there at Moonee Valley, which is a massive advantage, and she does have a wicked turn of foot, this filly. By the time Fidelia had balanced up, those two had cleared out in front of her. She did pick up ground off them late. I thought it was a great run.
And she'll be better at Caulfield.
Causeway Girl had no luck. Look, we're sort of mentioning a few of the same horses here, but the one that hasn't been spoken about too much is Kafila. I think she's a very, very good filly. She showed up very early, won the debutante at Caulfield. She was good in the Ottawa from a long way back. Blue Diamond run was enormous from an ordinary gate. Black Opal run was great. And then she struck a wet track in the slipper and we found out she doesn't handle the wet. So there are excuses for each of her last three defeats. I think at $20 from a good gate with blinkers on, offer a very good jump out at Flemington. I really, really like the way she went on August 3rd. She just improved into that without being asked to do much at all. And there were horses off the bit in that jump out that have good ability. I think if you go to, well, if I was going to bet in the race, I'd have a speculative gamble on Kafila at $20 on the each way.
Okay, Kafila each way at $20. This is a good race for
a
trifecta, a nice little flexi trifecta.
You cannot help yourself. Sometimes you just get an itch and you need to scratch it.
You're going
to
have,
you just can't.
You're going to have really good horses, $10, $20 running in the first three here. Fill up.
Do you want quaddy numbers?
I forgot about your quaddy number, so it seems you've been going so well lately in the quaddy.
I'm good at three legs. Take a treble if you're in South Australia. You're
probably how wide are you going in the first leg?
1, 2, 6, 10, 14, 16, 19.
1, Sunlight. 2, Thrillster. 6, Kafila. 10 is Pippi. 14 is Fidelia. 16, Causeway Girl. And 19, Sweet Roquette.
Yep.
Wow.
Sweet Roquette. She is a big, strong, fast net rock filly. She was well backed at her first start behind Trilly. I thought she was great in that race, just a bit keen, wanted to get on with it early, over 1,000. Got headed, kept coming at the line, and they dragged right away from the rest of the field. I liked that she was asked a little bit in her Cranbourne trial on the 6th.
Well, nice, I think you should be throwing Casadiva in as well at around about $23
a 17. Okay, throw it in. We'll go a joint quad in.
Let's get into
if we win.
The feature of the day, the PB Lawrence Stakes. It's going to be a fascinating race, as we've already spoken about, with those horses resuming from a spell and those who maybe don't have the class but have the fitness. Hartnell, $6, $8 Blackheart Bart, 18 Humidor, 34 Boom Time, Danon Liberty, $8.50. Then we can go down to $13 for Widgie Turf, $13 Kingswell Dream, $11 Mighty Bus, Boss, Grunt, $5. Showtime, well, that price has gone. $14 now into $7. Holy Snow, $12. And Miss Gunpowder's at $23. We should have a good speed here, shouldn't we, with Jungle Edge, Showtime, and Miss Gunpowder.
Yeah, I think they'll find their spots and then just cruise along. There's nothing that... I don't see the benefit for Jungle Edge or Showtime ripping along
in front.
It won't
be a sit sprint.
No, if they want to tear along in front, they're going to set it up for those horses that are stronger over longer distances that want to really charge home. I think it'll just be a nice, genuine tempo. I'd probably want to be in the first half of the field for winning chances. The horses I'm sort of focusing on are Hartnell and Widgie Turf. Hartnell won this last year easily, had a similar prep leading into it as well, and he also won the Oar in the autumn, so he's very, very effective weight for age, 1,400 metres at this track. I think James Cummings identified with this horse that, you know, he's getting a bit older, he's now an 8-year-old, he's going to pick his mark with him, find a couple of races, you know, good quality races that he'll be able to set him for, get a result and just, you know, get him a win, and because the horse deserves to be winning good races, he's been so good for so long. I think he'll, out of respect to the horse, he'll try and place him very, very well. I liked his trial at Rose Hill on the 7th. It was a very strong heat. Elise, Winks and Co. all through that heat. D'Argento, I thought he was great. Hartnell back towards the inside. Looks as good as ever. Very, very hard to beat. He'll come across from gate 13, probably with Jungle Edge on his outside. Showtime from 8, poking up inside. We'll have a look for the lead as well, no doubt, Dwayne Dunn, and see if those two want to cross him. I think that is the way to go. Widgie Turf is the other fascinating horse in this race for mine. I reckon Patrick Payne's identified this race as grand final day in a regard for him, although he may race on to a race like a Rupert Clark because he loves his races spaced. But at weight for age, fit with that residual form and fitness over the winter months, Group 3 winner at the track and distance, I thought his Cranbourne trial on the 6 was very, very good as just a little tick along towards this race. He's not the worst here.
Well, he is absolutely flying, as is the stable. And Paddy Payne joins us now. How are you, Patrick?
Good day, Paul. Good day, Sharky.
Paddy?
Is he right, the shark?
Well, I hope so. We just thought this would be a nice race for him, like a month between runs. The earnings preparation when the other horses didn't fit or just sort of winding into their preparation. So it was a chance for him to race against the better horses. Whether he's good enough, I don't know.
And that's the thing, isn't it, Pat? Like, if these better horses were fit and up and going and maybe had a run or two under their belt, then you'd probably be, thinking elsewhere. But the fact that they're first up, a lot of them have got longer goals in mind. You've got such an effective horse at this venue. Yeah, I can see why you've wanted to have a crack.
Yeah, a horse like Hartnell on his day would go straight past and all sorts. Yeah. But there's a little bit of rain forecast, and that would enhance the chances as well.
So how do you see the race unfolding? Do you see it being good speed? He had a really nice quiet trial recently. Is he going the best you've got him as well?
He's a very plain track work at home, so he's working consistent with what he normally does. He had like a little stress test Monday a week ago, and I thought he trialled really well, as good as he's ever trialled. So he looked fantastic, especially the last 100 metres or so. So he's had the ideal preparation, I think. He's going to answer questions, going as well as what he can to test him against the better horses.
We wish you the best in the Lawrence. Gee, it could be a big weekend. What chance do you give Sea King to beat Wells in the National on Sunday?
Oh, he's a great horse, Sea King, I reckon. I've got the utmost respect for Wells too, so I'm not sure whether we can beat him or not, but we've got 3 kilos less. I don't think he'll make it easy for Wells.
It is going to be a great race on Sunday. Good luck with Widgie Turf tomorrow as well.
Thank you. We'll need it.
Paddy Payne, the trainer of Widgie Turf. I'm intrigued about Dan and Liberty. I thought his trial was outstanding. You've got your finger on the pulse with all these Japanese horses. How do you rate his chances?
On his Japanese form, he'd need to lift a bit, but Weir seems to be able to improve them. He hasn't won in a long time, but there was so much money for him leading into the Stradbroke, then he's obviously going well. That trial was in May. He's probably had a little break for this. Listening to Weary before, I'm thinking Flemington, big track, yeah. Mile, that's probably going to be his go, and his best form is at a mile. He's a couple of wins at 1,800 metres as well. So, yeah, I'm just risking him a little bit. I'm looking towards, from a quaddie point of view, the horses most likely to win this race rather than the best horses in the race. So I'm putting in 1, Hartnell, 2, Blackheart Bart. This is a bit of a weird one, but he does go very well fresh, and I loved his jump out at Flemington. 7, Harlem. I think he's the blowout. 9, 13, and 14.
Widgie Turf, Grunt.
Because he could be a freak.
He has
grunt
to go in. And Showtime, yeah. We've missed. I can't believe they put up $14. He was a really good run last start, and I like the way he hit the ground. His run when he finished behind Brave Smash over 1,400, you've definitely got to put him in there as well. All right. So just to sum it up, confidence levels each way.
Oh, I'm going to back Hartnell, yeah.
Okay. Hartnell's the one for Mick Sharkey and the Lawrence. We're going to take a quick break. On the other side of this, we're going to come home with the last two legs of the quaddie at Caulfield.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Let's get on to the Regal Rollers Stakes, Sharky, and we're going to have another short prize favourite here, Osborne Bulls, because Rich Charm has been scratched, unfortunately, for Dieter Clark. And what we are hearing is that Innkeeper from the Simon Wilde stable is likely to be heading over to Adelaide. So if Innkeeper comes out, that will trim up the market even more, which currently sees Osborne Bulls rated a $2.90 chance. Is that the right price?
I think it's the price that anticipates Osborne Bulls' potential, perhaps, rather than his suitability to win this race. First time at Caulfield, I thought his trials have been okay, they've been pretty quiet. He goes very well over 1,400 metres, and he's got some weight to carry here too. So maybe a race like the Rupert Clark might be end game for Osborne Bulls, or at least a launching pad towards that sort of race anyway. So, yeah, I think he's vulnerable here. I really like the way Bella Martini progressed through her summer-autumn campaign. Gosford Guineas win was really good. No luck in the Typhoon Tracy, and then got the CUNY sewn up nice and easily there. I love the way she just quickened in that CUNY from an on-speed position and kept running strong to the line. I think she's a really nice, lightly raced mare with some potential to improve, and her August 3 jump out at Flemington in a very strong heat with Harlem, Booker, Boom Time. You know, it was a classy trial. Mm. She was in first gear there and was not asked to do much at all. She was very competitive and coasted around with those up the front of the trial at the finish. So I think she's a good bet in the race for those wanting to go against the favourite.
This I'll probably is a trim just watch. Leg, though,
yeah,
isn't it?
I'll trim it up a little bit. 2, 3, 6, and 7 for me in the quaddie. But, yeah, keen to see how Bella Martini goes.
You're going to put Oregon's Day in. Mick Price was very bullish about her chance. Yeah. Osborne Bull 6 is Bella Martini and the 7 Brave Song. I think you've got to put Brave Song in. It was a really good run. You're potting Drossen from the Price stable first
ridden
up.
Ridden out in that Cranbourne trial. I couldn't have him off his 7th in the Rubiton. He may well improve. We keep hearing about how good he is. No shock if he was to win, but I want to see him win first.
All right. Race number 9 is how we finish the quaddie. Reasonably open. Plenciel, we're just saying maybe one more run. $4.20 favourite. Second favourite, I should say, behind Call Me Handsome, who was really good last start at the Valley. Another Coley I thought was disappointing last start. Weary said Plenciel's the best of his runners. And Mask of Time, I think, is good value at 8.50. One day I'm going to get my money back on this horse, and it could well be tomorrow.
Might be tomorrow. Could be the Heatherly in a couple of weeks. Might be the Naturalism a few weeks after that. What he's getting this horse is a really good grounding of base fitness before sort of launching into those longer distance races. 2 1,400-metre runs have been excellent. Speed was against him last time at Caulfield, and he still ran home well from the tail of the field. I think it's a race he can win. Mick D sticks inside a middle sort of gate. He can sit midfield or just off out to a mile. Yeah, really keen to see what Mask of Time can do, and I'm happy to be in his corner each way. I think it's a leg we can trim up. Plainsell was really good in the Mildura Cup off a long break. Whether he can really boom off that or whether this is that sort of, you know, maybe a plateau run before he picks up third up, we'll have to wait and see. But he goes in the quaddie, as does Call Me Handsome, number 7. Yet to miss a place. He's got a sticky gait, but he's just so consistent. Brilliant racehorse. He just, you know, tries every time he goes to the races. You know exactly what you're going to get. Probably typical of a Galagotis trained runner.
So you're going to come home with 3, 5, and 7 in the quaddie.
That is exactly what I'm going to do.
We'll be putting the Sharks quaddie up on Twitter and on the RSN website. Give us your best of the day.
Best of the day is Relito and Mask of Time each way. And in Randwick, I'll try Kaonic in the last.
And Kementari.
Kementari,
to
yeah.
To beat Winx.
Yeah, absolutely.
Little all up there.
Why not? Stranger things have happened.
Into Edgewood.
Edgewood, 100 to 1.
Sharky, we've got some news to Torcedor.
Yes.
It seems like it may well be coming. Gone to Andreas Voller. The VRC is on it. He's a $17 chance, and I think you might find there's an Australian connection to the purchase. We'll hear more in recent days, but if he gets to Voller's stable in good form, it'll be Torcedor out for the Melbourne Cup. Enjoy your weekend, Shark.
You too, Michael.
And punters, hope you're back plenty of winners. Enjoy the return of Winx. Enjoy Caulfield. We'll be back on Monday to discuss it all.